Amen. Were you having a good day today? Yes, amen. Didn't hear you. Yes, amen. Praise the Lord. You've cast all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. Well, everything is going sideways. Well, I know that. Well, you can't trust this world. You can't trust this world to go any way but sideways. Amen. If you did, you were mistaken. You thought everything's going to be great today. Everything's going to be great this weekend. You know what? You'll be happier if you don't think that. If you don't think all of those things, that everything's going to go. My point is that not that God doesn't have things going your way. He does absolutely have everything going your way. But there are things that show up in the world that try to make you think that that's not the case and that's not true. Isn't that true? Isn't that right? I mean, every single day something wants to come up and say, "Hey, look at me. I'm going to ruin your day." And you said, "No, you can't ruin my day. My day is already perfect. I've got a perfect day, all planned because I'm walking with Jesus." And then, you know, here comes the devil coming up. You know, you're sitting there looking at an apple on a tree, and all of a sudden, here comes the devil. "Well, hi, how are you? You know, what would you like to do today? Can I interest you in a sin to rebel against God?" "Well, what do you got? Well, what do you got to offer?" "No, certainly not." And so we don't want to hear that. We want to hear only from the living God, only from the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hi, Alice. It's good to see you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's look over into 1 Peter chapter 2, please. It's been a little while. Y'all probably forgot chapter 1. You better go back and read it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Always show up. You never know who's going to be preaching, which is good, because that way you don't know what, you know, you don't know what you're going to get, right? Amen. Peas, you know, steak, you know, pumpkin pie. You know, you don't know what you're going to get. You should show up. Amen. Bible says, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of some." Amen. Even though all the more as you see the day approaching. So, you know, don't just get a 20-minute snack, or here you get about an hour and a half meal or something, you know, once every month. If you ate like that, you'd just die. You know, a lot of people ate like they come to church, you know, they'd just die, you know, because they didn't have any nourishment in them, you know. And just because you don't agree with everything that's said doesn't mean the Holy Ghost isn't with you, on the inside of you, teaching you and showing you exactly what the Word of God is telling you about that particular Scripture. Amen? That's what the Lord says, show up. It's not just for the preaching. It's for the fellowship of the saints. That's why you show up. So you can be touched and you can be ministered to. You can be loved on. "Well, I don't want to be loved on. I want to be left alone." Well, that's evil. Because the Lord wants you to be ministered to by the body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about the body needs each other. Amen? Well, I thought we was in 1 Peter. Well, we are. We'll get there. But you need to come together. Amen? And if you see somebody not here, call them up. If you see somebody you know here, call them up. Say, come. I'll tell them you'll come pick them up, or tell them, come to church next Sunday. Come meet me. Come meet me at church next Sunday. Amen? That's the power of God. Ian said he'd been inviting people for 20, 21 years, and finally somebody showed up. Praise the Lord. And the guy was so shocked. Ian was shocked too, but the guy was shocked. Everybody in the church was talking. He did not know what to do with that, you know? You know, I mean, that's just a very interesting thing, you know, because you have people who are excited, who have had the Holy Spirit do something, speak to them, speak to their hearts. They've been healed of COVID. COVID's like a brother or a brother-in-law or something these days, you know. COVID's like a proper name. Drives me crazy, you know. "Well, I got COVID." "Well, did you?" "Well, so did I." "Well, we all did, you know. Well, let's have a COVID party. You know, let's have a COVID reunion." Dear Lord. You know, I think they did a focus group and decided how they were going to do this, you know, so that they could let you know that, you know, everybody was going to, it's going to be the tip of everybody's tongue, you know. COVID this, COVID that. "You know, my name's David. I could have a brother named COVID. I think they did that. I think actually the first baby born in 2020, they named the baby COVID. Did you know that?
No.
They named a baby. I'm serious. They named a baby COVID. Yeah, it's so crazy. So, you know, we should laugh. Amen. We should laugh at the devil. You know, he thinks he's winning, he's losing. He's already lost. The devil cannot win. And the first place he likes to win is in your thought life. First place he likes to win is in your mind. And he likes to get your attention. Hey, look at me. Sorry, Joyce. He just likes to say, look at me. They're dancing all over there, you know. And so the enemy wants you to pay attention to him. But Jesus is calling you. Jesus said, I'm with you, Walter. He said, I'm with you. He said, I am with you always. Remember, Jesus said, I am with you on Sunday. No, he didn't say that. Yeah, I'm with you on the Sabbath. The rest of the week, you're on your own. No, he said, I'm with you always. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. Well, we don't want any Holy Spirit. We don't want any ghost. We don't want any spirit. You know, we want Jesus. And we've had Jesus for 3.5 years. We like Jesus. We've had Pastor Jim for 40 years. We like Pastor Jim. We're going to keep him. We don't take him. Well, he was tired. He wanted to go home. He decided if he had the opportunity, I guess, you know, he just went on home. And, well, I'm coming back. Well, then he got a taste of it. And he said, maybe not. Maybe not. You know, because Pastor Jim loved Jesus. He wanted to always be with Jesus. And guess what? He's with Jesus. Now, you're going to go. You want to go today? See, everybody wants to go to heaven. Nobody wants to go today. I thought that was funny. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Nobody wants to go today. That's like a song somebody should sing. I'm sure that somebody wrote one. You know, because nobody wants to go today. No, the power of God is living on the inside of you. He sent the Holy Spirit so that he could live and be in each one of you and be all over the world. He's in your brother and your sister in India right now. He's in your brother and sister in the Congo or in Japan or in anywhere in the world. He's with them right now. The Holy Spirit is with you, sitting in your seat right this minute. He's not off doing something else. He is with you. And the Holy Spirit is the manifestation of Jesus Christ on the inside of you. And he loves you, and he said he would never leave you nor forsake you. Are you enjoying that right now? I want you to say amen.
Amen.
Because otherwise you'll be thinking about it and going, well, I wonder if that's so. What you say is amen to the Word of God. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Who raised up his flag of victory, his flag the flag shows that who owns the land, amen? And the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard which says, this one belongs to me. And that's who you belong to, isn't it? All right, 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going to begin, and as I always back up to somewhere, in chapter 1, verse 22. Look at that. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. So, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. What's the truth? Believing the gospel. Believing the gospel. Your soul is purified through believing the gospel. I believe the gospel. Everybody here believe the gospel? Jesus died for your sins, took all of your sins upon himself, died, shed his blood, rose again from the dead. By him you are living eternally. Amen. That's the gospel. Everybody? Everybody in? If you're not, we'll just stop right now and just say, you can say, Jesus Christ, I believe that you died for my sins. You took all of my sin and everything that in me was against God, you took it upon yourself. And now you have received me into your kingdom because of faith alone. And I, because of your resurrection from the dead, I will live eternally in the presence of the Father God. You say amen? Amen. All right, praise God. You're in. It's good to have you. Praise the Lord. So, seeing now that you have purified your souls in obeying the gospel, the truth, through the Spirit, there's that Spirit again. My goodness. The Spirit of God. He has come to dwell in every single one of us. Because he has a relationship with you, and you communicate with the Father through the Spirit. It's not just through your words in prayer. So a lot of folks, it's like his words in prayer. You know, when you stop talking, God stops hearing or something. No, God is always with you, and whether you're praying out loud or from the heart, you are in the presence of God. Father, I thank you that I'm always in your presence. You love me, and you're in me and through me. And Jesus said that in John chapter 17. You can go over there and read that. That was his prayer, that all of his disciples would be with him and in him, because he had just talked about sending the Holy Spirit, didn't he? He talked about in John chapter 14, 15, 16, about the fact that he was going to be sending the Holy Spirit. You can go back and read that. Write that down. John 14, 15, 16. You can read that. And then 17, he says, this is how it's going to look, is that it's us in you and you in us, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and you're walking together with him. So that you're purified in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love. All of a sudden, no fake. Basically what unfeigned is. No fake. Is your love is true. The love of God is on the inside of you. Romans chapter 5. It says, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Well, I don't feel like I love that person. That person's a jerk. You know, no. No, the fact is that you do love that person. Amen. Jesus, the hallmark of Jesus' ministry was compassion, wasn't it? The hallmark of Jesus' ministry was compassion. And that's you. You are filled with... No, I'm not. No, you. Listen to me. You are filled with compassion. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. The love of God dwells on the inside of you. You are filled with compassion. Now, the enemy was to come in and say... And your emotions kind of respond to people. You ever notice your emotions respond to people? Don't they? I mean, all of a sudden here comes somebody, you know, and they have some ridiculous thing to say or something ugly to say, and you just respond emotionally immediately. You may not, because you're a good Christian, you may not verbalize it, but you notice you just feel that thing on the inside of you. Or is that just me? We've got this dog. Praise the Lord. Hope my son's not... He's on his honeymoon. I hope he's not watching Facebook or anything. Facebook preaching, you know, because I'm talking about his dog. His dog is a puppy. Anybody ever had a puppy? Anybody ever babysat a puppy? Oh, my goodness. Praise the Lord. That'll make you joyful right there. You know, especially the time of morning, the puppy wants to get up, and puppy's got a crate, and if you get stuck too long anywhere, and you have to come back, that crate's not a great thing. It's a disaster. But then when you get there, and you just go like, ooh, you know, you're on the inside. You know, if the puppy poops in the crate, it's like other things that people do and say. It's like kind of a, you know, people do things, you know. Maybe they're not doing that, but they're coming to you with a bad attitude or coming to you irritated about something that's, I mean, you're not even involved with it, but they decide they're going to tell you about it and they're going to let you know that this is, or maybe it's something that's coming down off of Fox News that you didn't like or something. You ever notice your insides just get twisted because of one kind of news or another? Amen? And so, but you find that the inside of you wants to respond. But what you know for the truth, because unfeigned love through the Spirit, because you have obeyed the truth through faith. The obedience of the truth is through faith. And that's a gift of God. That's not something you drummed up. It's the gift of God. And the gift of God is continually operating on the inside of you every single day. The faith of God is operating on the inside of you every day. He is working in you to will and to do. Philippians 2, 13 and 12 and 13. He's in you both to will it and to do it. And so as Larry was talking about this morning, is that even though the circumstances say one thing, your heart, which is has already believed the gospel through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love. A lot of times you feel like your love is feigned, faked, don't you? Don't. Just express. Forget what you feel. Forget what you're thinking. Just express, Father, I thank you that I love that person. I thank you that I overcome by the word of the Lord and the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. My testimony. The word of my testimony. The word of my testimony is, I love that brother. I love that sister. I love that circumstance. I'm not afraid. I walk like Jesus walked. I walk in the presence of the living God through unfeigned love of the brethren. That's how I walk. Now, when the enemy comes in and says, no, you don't. No, he's a liar. He's a liar. You know, he wants you to believe that you haven't quite made it yet. Amen. The enemy wants you to think you haven't quite made it yet. That is a lie. You are all the way at the land. Jesus said, get in my boat, and we're at the land. I mean, you know, when the storm came and all the thing, and then he says, peace be still, immediately they're at the land. Immediately they're at the land. When Jesus is in your boat, you're at the land. Now, your body and your mind are a little slower to respond. You ever seen that? Your body and your mind tend to drag behind. Because you're looking at your behavior and you're looking at your first responses, believing that is something I have to fix, something I have to repair. You don't repair. Jesus does the fixing, doesn't he? Am I yelling? I'm sorry. I haven't even got to chapter 2. I don't know what's going to happen. But you purified your souls in obeying the truth. But this is not even your work. This is His work. Amen? Well, I purified my soul, got my safeguard soap, and I started scrubbing. No. You just believe the truth, and He is doing it. You've forgiven your family. Amen. Because your love is the love of God. Agape. Love, you know, the word charity in the Bible, you know, sometimes we think it's kind of an old-fashioned kind of word, or that, that just means giving money to the poor. Well, charity, the reason you would give money to the poor is why? Because they can't help themselves. They cannot do for themselves. Now, you may disagree with that. You know, well, it should have been working. You know, instead of standing out here on the street corner, should have been working at Walmart. They're open on Sunday. How come he doesn't have a job? I don't know. The issue is, you don't know why the guy didn't have a job. All you know is what the Holy Spirit is going to speak to your heart to do. Amen? He may tell you, don't give that guy $5. He's not going to tell you not to give him a bottle of water. Give him a bottle of water. But the love of God is on the inside of you. Amen? And so what you're doing is, you know that the Holy Spirit is not hating or angry, but the Spirit of God had compassion. The scripture says that Jesus looked out upon Israel and said that they were as sheep without a shepherd. Just lost. How many know the lost are lost? Huh? The lost are lost. And who has the spirit of the shepherd on the inside of them? You do. What about Pastor? Pastor does. Pastor Larry. He's got the spirit. I'll send him down there. No. You have the Spirit of God on the inside of you. That's why everybody in church gets up and talks. You know, it's not like the one guy at the front. You know, the people of God get up and talk about what the Holy Spirit's done on the inside of them. All right? So what you're doing is walking with compassion. Do you recognize that? I want you to know it. You have compassion on the inside of you. When the enemy comes in and says, no, you don't, you say, no, you're a liar. I do. I do. Now, is that a command to do a certain thing? No, let's go one step at a time. I walk with the love of God. Amen? I walk with the love of God. Next step, what do you do with that? How do you minister to somebody like that? Well, you learn. You know, it's a little bit of a, you know, sometimes you learn by doing. And sometimes, well, maybe, you know, did you give the guy money and he went and spent it on drugs? Well, probably. But first of all, you're learning how to give money. You're learning how to give. Now, giving money can be guilt assuasion. You know, maybe you're just trying to, you know, you give something away. Somebody may be giving away and feel like, okay, well, that'll take care of that feeling, you know. And no, I mean, that may not be it. Maybe you need to share something with that person. Is God is going to break you out of your zone. And you're going to begin to do things that you are not normally ready to do. Amen? See, God's going to break you out and you're going to begin to live in His kingdom. It's not just coming to church. It's not just doing a good thing here and there. But it's learning to live in His kingdom. Learning to live by the Word of God. The Word of God, when you read it, you don't read it to get knowledge. What should I do? You read the Word of God to begin to learn how to hear His voice. You begin to learn how to hear His voice. Amen? You learn how to hear His voice. And then, once you hear His voice, you begin to hear what to do. Amen? All right, back there in verse 22 of chapter 1. Seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit to unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. See that you do this now. Sounds Irish. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Well, how are you going to do that? You're going to have to trust Jesus. You're going to have to trust Jesus. You're not going to be able to pull that off. Amen? See, when you can't do something, then you go to the Holy Spirit and say, Father, I can't see how to do that. Verse 23, being born again, listen, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. For all flesh is grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. We're all coming and we're going. The grass withers, and the flower fades, but the Word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached to you. So you're born again of incorruptible seed by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So the Spirit, the word of God on the inside of you transforms and changes you. Amen? It transforms and changes you. Putting the word on the inside. Eat it up. You know, let the word of God dwell, a spirit of Colossians says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom. Richly, in all wisdom. Because He will give you wisdom. He says, ask for wisdom. Over in James chapter 1, He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who abradeth not, who won't beat you up for not knowing it. But He wants you to ask. Same thing with Solomon. He asked for wisdom. He said, because you ask for wisdom, you get everything else. Bingo. Because you ask for wisdom, you get everything else. So the Holy Spirit is giving you everything that you need as you listen to His what? His Word. And as you meditate upon His Word, He is transforming and changing you. Over in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, that you might demonstrate that the Word of God manifests on the inside of you as He is transforming you. You thought this is how you do things. God says, no, you do it like this. Here's how you walk. Now chapter 2 says, wherefore laying aside, or since we're at, from that point, from because of the Word of God on the inside of you, we are laying aside all malice and all lying. Guile is lying. Hypocrisies and envyings and all evil speakings. That's what begins to happen as you walk in the presence of God with the Holy Spirit on the inside. Now, when you attempt to take the Word of God and do something on your own steam, okay, saw that, yeah, I'm going to do that. Well, you'll find that you fail. But when you fail, you go back to God, and what do? You get beat up? No, you get forgiveness. You receive the forgiveness of the Lord. You say, Lord, I really have not been able to walk without hatred toward this person. Are you going to get rid of it? Yes, I'll take care of that. I'll take care of that. Well, I'm never going to go see that person again. It's probably not the answer. I'm never going to go see that person again. God says, I can love you, but I don't have to see you. Well, did Jesus say that, or is that your solution to a problem? You have to hear God. You're going to hear God. You're going to listen to Him, and you're going to walk with Him. You're going to worship Him, and you can begin to pray for that person. Amen? You can begin to pray for that person. You can begin to love them, because Jesus loved them. He said, we read this later, is that when Jesus was cursed, He promised He'd never go see that person again. Did He? No. He said, when He was cursed, He did not curse back. Part of cursing back could be just not showing up in their presence again, wouldn't it? They're no longer going to see my face again. So because of this Word on the inside of you, we're laying aside all this malice, all these wicked things, and as newborn babes, desiring the unadulterated, the sincere or pure milk of the Word. The pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Again, it's the Word of God. It's the Word of God on the inside of you. Again, it's not when you're reading the Scripture, it's so that you begin to have a worldview, a concept of it is to hear the voice of God. Amen? That's what this is. Don't read for a test. Read for a relationship. You know, God's not going to give you the test. Even if He gave you a test, you know, He passes the test for you. It's okay. All right? Amen. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. And if you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as to a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. So he talks about the Scripture in Isaiah 28 that says, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone. This is the prophetic word from Isaiah to Israel. A precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Shall not, so, what does that mean, to not make haste? He that believeth shall not make haste. In other words, he that believeth is not in a hurry. You're not afraid and you're not stressed. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where he talks about persecuted, we're on every, we're troubled on every side. But we're not stressed. Isn't that a funny thing to say? We're troubled on every side, but we're not stressed. Persecuted, not forsaken. What's the rest of it, somebody?
Persecuted, not despairing.
Okay. Perplexed, but not... Listen, I love this one. This again, it's 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. Perplexed, We're troubled on every side, but not stressed, not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. That's so interesting. What the world is going on? But we're not in despair, because sometimes you get in despair when you're confused and you're in trouble. You know, you can despair. You're not. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our mortal bodies. This is who you are. You know, you read the Bible, you find out who you are. You know? I've always found that when you read the first part of most of the epistles, say that the epistles are like the letters to the Ephesians or to Galatians or to Colossians or to the Philippians. Or you read the first two or three chapters of those. And of course, remember, these are letters. There's really not chapters when they were written. But you read the first part of those. They begin to tell you your identity in the Lord Jesus, what the Lord Jesus Christ has performed on the inside, what the Father has performed on the inside of you. And the rest of it is the outworking of it. The rest of that of it is, you know, therefore, here's all the things that begin to happen, is that you begin to walk according to the wisdom of God. You begin to walk according to the love of God. You begin to walk without sin. So casting off, says casting off all this malicious stuff, because it's as a garment. It's like a garment that somebody tried to throw on you and you throw it back off. Amen? Just throw it back off. Didn't say it's not going to try to come back on you again, but you allow the Holy Spirit to get rid of, to eliminate it from your walk. Amen? Because most of all the things that we do are a response to try to protect yourself. Most everything that you do or respond to is how to protect yourself from, oh my gosh, I don't want to get hurt, or I don't want to get, you know, in trouble or whatever. Is all of these things that we do, but they're sinful because you're not trusting God. You're just trusting you. You're trying to escape. Danny said it the other day. He said, Jim even said to Danny, he said, Danny, don't escape. Don't escape. What does that mean? Don't escape. Don't escape God. I mean, God is after you. And he's after you to kill your old man so that you can live in the new man. So you can live. Don't escape. God's after you, buddy. He's on the prowl. You know, it's like the devil's a roaring lion, you know, as bad as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. You know, God's kind of like that. You know, he's after you. He's after you. He is after you. The Holy Spirit is after you. God the Father is after you to have you for his own, to take you, to wrap his arms around you, and to walk with you, and you begin to walk with him, and whether it's with your family, your wife, and your children, or your co-workers, or your pastors who you can't stand, you know, or your or the president of the United States, who you may be if you're politically inclined, you know, a lot of people are politically inclined these days. Maybe it's your school board people that you finally figured out are, you know, not quite up to snuff. But what you have to do first is have a relationship with God. Amen? Otherwise, you're going to respond, there we are, responding back in the flesh again. Amen? Don't respond in the flesh. Confess your sin. Father, I am angry, but thank you that you show me exactly where I'm going and what to do. Okay, verse 4 in chapter 2 of 1 Peter. He says, to whom coming as to a living stone, disallowed of men, thrown away by men, but chosen of God. In fact, to God he's precious. It's Jesus. You also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house and an holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. These sacrifices that you're offering up are spiritual sacrifices by Jesus Christ. You are living stones. You're the house that God's building. You're God's house. You're like a brick. Wherefore also, verse 6, it is contained in the scripture, which we read there. It says, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he that believes on him shall not be ashamed. And also in Psalm 118 it says, the stone which the builders refused is become the head of the corner. The stone which the builders... This is a constant theme of Jesus in the Old Testament, is that he is the chief cornerstone. He is upon which everything is built. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was around. Jesus was around not as Son of Man, but as Son of God. He was around when the promise was made to Abraham. You know, Larry was talking about that this morning. Is that, you know, is though things look dead, though things look impossible, 99-year-old man having a baby. Silly. Is that he considered not his circumstances. He considered not his own body now dead, but believed that what God promised he was able to perform. Is there something impossible? I can think of a few. There's some things that are impossible that what God said, when God says it, it's going to take place. Amen. Father, we thank you for that. Thank you for it. Verse 7, to you who therefore believe that he is precious, but to them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Oh, just kind of makes people grumble. And a stone of stumbling to the disobedient. He's talking about the disobedient, the religious Jews, those who will not receive him. And he's become, verse 8, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereto also they were appointed. Over in Isaiah, he talks about, over in Isaiah chapter 9, he talks about there are some who their hearts are blind, their eyes are blinded until the last day. But you are a chosen generation, verse 9. Those who have believed. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. It's more and more and more. It just keeps going. A peculiar, specific people, a called out people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God. Now he's talking about the Gentiles. The Gentiles were not even a people. God's people were a people. At least they were a people. They were God's people. But you people were just no people. But God has opened the door for the Gentiles, for all the nations. Somebody from Texas, you know. Now I'm not a fifth generation Texan, or a third, or even a second. My mom came from Cleveland. My dad came from St. Paul. So, you know, I'm not even barely a true Texan, right? But God made me a people. You know, if you're from Texas, you're kind of a people. Yeah? You're kind of a people. But God made me a people. He adopted me, and he adopted you, if so be that you have been born again of uncorruptible seed by faith alone in the Lord Jesus. Which in time past were not a people, verse 10, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. So, can you abstain from them? Yeah, can you promise you'll never do it again? Probably not. But the one thing you know is, that's not helpful. So the things you can choose to not do, but then tomorrow you accidentally, oops, did it again. Because you got depressed. You know, you ever noticed you sin because you get depressed? Or you sin because you're walking in unbelief? Amen? Anybody know that? Ever noticed? Amen? I'm just asking. You sin because you didn't believe God. You thought you had a need that you had to meet yourself. That's what happened to Eve. The guy convinced her that she had a need that she had to meet herself. Well, God just isn't showing up on time. He just not showing up. You know, or I didn't give her everything I deserve. Well, you certainly didn't. You're still breathing. If you'd have got everything you deserved, you would be gone by now. But no, thank God you didn't get everything you deserved. No, but you think you didn't get everything you deserved in your little good self. Or, you know, maybe you had an awful daddy. Or maybe you had an awful mama. Or maybe you had an awful childhood. Or maybe you have a, maybe you dropped out of school. Or maybe you quit your job. And you're just mad because everybody's not taking care of you. You may be mad for a lot of reasons. But you know what? Jesus Christ loves you. He's not mad at you. He's not mad at me. He's not mad at anybody. He's not mad at anybody. He wants them to come to the knowledge of the truth. And He's going to bless you and take care of you. He's going to bless you and take care of you. One day at a time. One day at a time. Amen. So much good news. You know, if you could just share that with somebody, and they'll hate you for it, and they'll spit on you, and they won't come to church, and, you know, like Ian, you know, they just poo-poo to you. That's okay. Because you are loving somebody enough to tell them. Because you have that unfeigned love on the inside of you. See, your dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Which war against the soul. You're having a war on the inside. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may behold your good works, or they may by your good works, which they behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. That is, there's going to be a day that they're going to see the glory of God. God walks with you. He manifests Himself as you walk with Him. Amen? God is doing a mighty thing. See this seven chairs up here. You start out by faith. You start out repenting. And then, you know, maybe you were a hypocrite before, you know. Or maybe you were a sinner. Or maybe you were both. A sinner, a hypocrite, both. But then the Holy Spirit spoke to you and you repented and you changed your mind. You said, you know, God, I think you've got a better way than I've got. And so then you start walking by faith. A little bit at a time. And then all of a sudden, He begins to disciple you. That's this part right here. Having your conscience honest among, your conversation honest among the Gentiles, whereas though they speak against you as evildoers, they hate what you do. You know, have you ever noticed they're kind of like in these days, we'll be done here. That's the last verse. They don't like you. Because you don't like to buy into everything they're doing. Amen? Because the more sin prevails, the more righteousness is a light. The more sin prevails, the more your righteousness appears to them unrighteousness. Amen? Well, you should get that vaccine, or you should, you know, leave people alone however they want to marry. Or you should leave people alone however they don't want to have a baby. You should, you know, there is life in the Word of God. But when you're walking in darkness, you hate the light. But you are the light of the world. Matthew chapter 5. You are the salt of the earth. So the power of God is working on the inside of you. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You walk in compassion because the Holy Spirit is living on the inside of you. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen? Are you having a good time?
Yes.
Oh, God is good. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, Father, we just love you and thank you for your goodness today. Thank you that the Word is always true and is breaking us on the inside, breaking our flesh man, because our flesh man is dead. And the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us, strengthening us, changing us, bringing us into your presence. Lord, we're transformed by the renewing of our mind to your Word, which creates in us an unfeigned love. We're walking in compassion, we're walking in peace, and we give you praise, O Lord God, for all that you're doing, and we give you glory. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to begin to go ahead and begin to take the offering in our normal capacity, as we haven't been over the last several months, but just giving you the opportunity to give into the kingdom of God and into the ministry. So, Father, we just thank you right now that as we give this morning, you supply all needs, both here in the body and also to everyone who participates in that giving. So we just give you praise, Lord God. We thank you that every need is supplied. There are jobs for everybody. There's complete needs are completely met. And we just give you the praise. And we give you the glory in the name of Jesus.